All right, we'll continue our Bible studies this morning in the book of 1 Samuel. Our last two studies, we were looking at Hannah's prayer. And just to say this, we did not exhaust what we saw in those words. I know. There was lots more. We could probably stop and rest right on that prayer alone for several weeks to come. But I'm going to go ahead and continue on anyway. And this morning we're going to pick up where we left off. We finished up verse 10. So we want to look at verse 11. Where it says, "And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest," speaking of Samuel. So let us take a brief moment and enjoy a bit of sweetness, shall we? Of a child being raised in the knowledge of the Lord. I remember in one of our prayers, in prayer time on Friday night Bible study, for those who aren't able to make it, we spend a few moments before pastor brings a Bible study, and we pray for those in our congregation and those of the leaders of our countries and so on and so on. And when we began praying for Hannah and Trevor and Daniel and Rebecca and Pastor Gene's grandson and their child who's to come yet, I remember Brother Mike bringing it out, how, Lord, and this was our prayer, and I so agree to it, Lord, let these children be blessed in being raised in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How sweet it is. You know, I don't think we give enough time and thought to what actually goes on with that. Kathy kind of takes the children and she goes off to the young ones who still need a little nurturing and what it is we're learning and aren't quite ready to absorb the things in Scripture, such as Michael's older children are. They're old enough to understand what I'm saying here. Micah probably isn't quite there yet. How important it is for these children to be raised in the knowledge of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, God Almighty in the flesh. How precious it is to see our young ones grow in this knowledge of the true King. You see, they too must hear the gospel of God's amazing grace. They too must also be taught of the Lord, not just hear the words of men who stand before them or the ladies who teach the young ones. They must be taught of the Lord also. None of us can see the hearts of anyone else, even our own children. Only God can reach in and touch the hearts of people. And this doesn't just go for young ones. This goes for anyone who's never heard the gospel before. Are they not babes in Christ when they begin to hear the gospel for the first time? They too must hear the gospel of God's amazing grace. They too must hear our standing before God. They too must hear about the spotless Lamb of God who gave Himself the sacrifice for the sins of His people. They too must hear where this Savior is now. He's no longer in the grave. He's sitting on His throne in heaven, amen, ruling over everything. Not just the times that we read about in the Bible, but ruling over everything right now.
Amen.
All that's happening, the heater that went out on us this morning, the light that flickers over here, these are all, every single detail. If we've learned nothing else, folks, we must learn that God rules over everything. It does not hurt to repeat that over and over again, because how often do you? I know I do all the time. I fall right back into that trap of, oh, I've got control of this. I can get this. No. My God has control over it.
Amen.
They too must hear where our Savior is upon his throne, ruling over everything as it pleases him. You don't need to turn there, but in the 10th chapter of Romans, it says this: "For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and of good things." These words that I just read from Romans, are they not for our young ones also?
Amen.
Some of you already know about the terrible ordeal that young Mazzy went through just this last month. I can only imagine how scared that had to be, how worried that must have put on a young mind. Especially in today's world, where on the news you see what goes on in schools all over. Not only do we see it, but it's almost raised up to a level. I'll leave it at that. But yet our great God took her through that situation for reasons that we may not know for some time to come. But I see one reason. I was talking about this with Mike when I asked him for his permission to discuss this. I look back at that situation and I remember when I first saw Mazzy after we heard the news, I said to her, "The Lord's got it in control." Something to that effect. I gave her a hug and reminded her that our God is God over everything. Looking back, I see that it was an opportunity that we, every one of us who come across brothers or sisters or their family in trouble, in need, it's an opportunity for every one of us to point them to Christ.
Amen.
Even our unsaved loved ones. I spent yesterday with a whole house full of family that have no desire to know the Lord. And sometimes it can be an intimidating thing to where we don't want to speak up. Mm-hmm. Do any of you feel that way sometimes? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I find it's getting easier and easier just to say, "I don't care what they think, I'm going to say it anyway."
Me too.
It's getting easier.
Yeah, that's good.
But these are opportunities. Opportunities for each of us to teach who the Lord Jesus Christ is and who is in control of all things. It's an opportunity for us to point them to Christ. It was an opportunity for us to teach her that in this lifetime there will be many trials. Many times the seas will swell what seems to be above her head. Tribulations will come in many forms. Is it possible that we protect our young ones too much, maybe? Will you take note that what we just read, notice that the child was learning from another, one who was not his mother or father, a man who was not of the family at all, a man who had grown children of his own, possibly a grandfather to others. Now, it doesn't mean by teaching another one's child or another one's young one, sharing with them the gospel, it doesn't mean that we have the right, and by no way should we ever bring discipline to another's child. And I wanted to make sure I'm clear that I don't want to be confused. It is not our means to bring discipline at all to another one's child without specific instructions to do so. But I am talking about giving words of encouragement words of grace. It's the same message that God will use to give all of His children peace. It's the message that we deserve far worse than what we get. We deserve nothing, for we all have sinned against God. But as Daryl read in the men's meeting this morning, But God, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Is that not the message we should share with our young ones also? There is no better news that we could share with any of our loved ones. Christ died for sinners. What better things to teach our young than that the blood of Christ has redeemed His people to God? What better things to teach our young than that the blood of Christ has purged us from our dead works, has purged our sins, and remembers them no more? What things are better to teach our young than that the blood of Christ has cleansed us and made us white as snow in His presence, in His eyes? We teach them, folks, by our actions. Actions speak louder than words. When they see us referring our needs to Him, as we do in Friday night Bible study, when they hear the prayers, or how I'm troubled by this, but I know who my Lord is and who's in control of it. And then they see you walk away no longer worried about what it was you worried a moment ago. What better way to teach our young or someone who has heard the gospel for the first time? We teach them that all good gifts come from Him. We teach them that God is good beyond measure to His chosen people. Yet no matter how much we teach them, yet all that we may teach, even so, God must do the work in the hearts of men and children. Trusting Jesus, right? That means trusting Him in all things. Doesn't mean that we give up our responsibility. I don't need to teach this. God's going to make it happen one way or the other, right? That's not what it means at all. Doesn't mean that at all. We're about to see how a man of God what happens when the Lord does not do a work in the souls or the hearts of men. Verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Allow me to share with you a part of Robert Hawker's commentary on this very verse. I quote, Robert Hawker writes, "I beg the reader not to overlook the expression, they knew not the Lord. That is to say that they knew not the Lord in a way of communion and fellowship. They knew Him in the outward heresy account of their Maker, but not in the way of grace. Not in the way of grace. Only God can do a work of grace in the hearts of His people. That's why it's grace. Unwarranted favor. And what an awful account doth the Lord Himself give of all such ministers in the day of judgment. End of quote. Hold your place here in 1 Samuel, if you would, and turn over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. And while you're turning there, allow for me to a moment to read from Malachi. In the second chapter of Malachi, verse 7, we begin to read that the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth. See, we're not talking about somebody who just gives up, says, let the Lord handle it. He'll take care of it. No, the priest should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupt the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Folks, it is our responsibility to be diligent. We must demand, not haphazardly, not partially, but completely and boldly, that the gospel must be preached. There are some in today's world who believe that practical godliness is part of preaching the gospel, and I am here to tell you this morning that it is not. Practical godliness is not the gospel. It is a result of God making his gospel effectual in your hearts.
Amen.
Are you with me in Matthew 7? Look at verses 21 through 24. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are many who have heard the word of God. It says that there were many, the Israelites, after they were saved from the Egyptians and brought across the sea on dry ground. How many died in the wilderness because of unbelief? They heard the same story as everyone else. They heard the same gospel that was preached from Moses. And we know that Moses preached Christ, right? Not all who say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Look at what I've done in your name, O Lord. Look at what I have done. Look at what I have done. Look what I have done. And then I will profess unto them, our Lord Jesus says. These are the words of Christ. These are the words of God. Thus saith the Lord. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These two men that we're about to read about, these two men claim to serve the true and living God, yet they serve themselves. Let's go back to our text now, if you would please, in 1 Samuel. They served their own needs. That could be mean. That could mean many things. If you think about that, it could mean that they were hungry, so they were constantly fed. Or they got to wear nice clothes. Maybe it meant that their needs was they wanted to wear nice clothes before the people, or maybe they wanted to sit in the high places of the town. This is a special spot over here for our ministers. Maybe it was that. Whatever need it wasn't Christ. It was their own personal needs. And we're going to see that right next here in verse 13. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in the seething, and with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. Now picture that. You got a bowl, you got a pot, and they're boiling it before the sacrifice, and here comes the priest. Oh, that's, I'm going to take part of that for me. And they were entitled to take some of it, weren't they? But we got that three-prong hook there. Just imagine how much that, I just picture that in my mind, just pulling out a big old huge chunk. Oh, there ain't a whole lot left in that pot, is there? This is what the priests were doing. We'll take your money. And we're going to build this huge, great big building here. Isn't that what they do today in the churches today?
Yes,
How many know a widow who gave all that she had to the church? My best friend's mother, when her husband left her with millions. 5 years later, she was flat broke. Church took it all. And then when she was too sick to go on Sunday morning, they stopped calling. A flesh hook with three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. And all that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said unto the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. I don't want what you're offering to the Lord, what the Lord has told you to give. I want the better stuff over here. You know, give it to me first. There's more flavor in it than it is when it was boiled. And if any man said unto him, unto the servant, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as the soul desireth, then he would answer them and say, nay, but thou shalt give it me now. And if not, then I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men, that was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Do we not have the same in today's world?
Yes, sir.
Do not the men who claim to serve Jesus serve for their own satisfaction? They take what they can from their hearers and they use it for their own lusts and desires. What was that guy? What was his name? Tammy Faye Baker's. I remember that name, her husband.
Jimmy Baker.
Yeah. Didn't he have like three jets? Guy had all kinds of stuff.
Air-conditioned doghouse.
Yeah, air-conditioned doghouse. I do remember that now that you mention it. An air-conditioned doghouse. Three jets. This is a man who claimed to be a man of God. What did he need that much money for? But to satisfy his own desires. The desires of the flesh, as Daryl read about in Ephesians 2. And so were we at one time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Exactly. They take what they can from their hearers, using it for their own lusts and desires. Because these men that we just read about, these two sons of Eli, knew not the Lord and they served Belial, their service turned the people away from the true and living God. When you see this kind of hypocrisy coming from the pulpit, why should you follow it? Why would I have any desire to go to a church where all the money is spent on everything else and it's all about this and it's all about that? That sounds fake to me. It sounded fake to me before the Lord opened my eyes. It still sounds fake. Their service turned the people away from the true and living God. The people, for the most part, saw the lust of these men that they had for the comforts, for the privileges, and they came with that came with being a minister, and in such they turned away to where their own heart's desire was. They turned away to their own comforts. Well, I don't like his God. I'll just go get one over here. I don't like that one. I'll just make one of my own. And God gave them up to their own heart's desire. In the book of Jude, we also read about this very thing. You don't need to turn there, but in verse 4, it says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Election is sure. For there are men who are ordained before time began to sneak into churches. And they were ordained to be condemned on it. Ungodly men turning from the grace of God, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the power that God has over the will of man by saying, it is your will to come forward. Come forward and make a decision for Christ today. Stop doing the foolish things that you did before and start doing the right thing. They take the power away from God. Christ, God in the flesh. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and angels who kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example. Be diligent. Be bold. Setting them forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Folks, pick up your Bibles. Be as the noble Bereans. Look into the Word of God and be sure what man, what the man who stands before you says is there in Scripture. And yet, though I've painted a picture here, and we see what these terrible men did to the people of God, we have promises that we can stand upon with all confidence. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he, our God, has said, I will never leave you. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, what troubles we go through, Mazzy. The seas are going to swell. You're going to be walking through the valley of the shadow of death as long as the Lord God has your name marked to live this earth. Yet if you're in Christ, if you belong to God, you have nothing to fear. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.